Luke 24, thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be with you again. I love this church. I love the friendship and the fellowship that I find here and the music. Wow, if I could just take you, some of you, with me to... most churches would kill to have the caliber of music that you folks are blessed with, and it's such a joy. I'm honored to be behind the sacred desk today, and I'm reminded of the fella that went to the Baptist church, and boy, right about two-thirds of the way through, he stood up and started to walk out. And the pastor stopped and called him down and said, "Hey, where do you think you're going?" And he turned around and he says, "I'm going to get a haircut." "You should have got a haircut before church." And he said, "I didn't need one before church." If you can only come to one service, tonight would be the one to come to. I want to encourage you to be here tonight. You know, I want to just say, of all the things that I get to do, and I'm blessed to have a variety of things, my favorite thing to do is to preach about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was raised in a family that wasn't against God and the Bible. We, of course, heard of Christmas and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but we weren't saved. And when I went to church for the first time and I heard that God loved the whole world, that the whole world was in darkness and lost and without hope, and that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came willingly, laid down his life, hung on the cross, shed his blood, and paid for the sins of the whole world, and then offered free, full forgiveness to anybody who'd come to him in faith. That just sounded too good to be true. I'm a cynic and a skeptic by nature. I don't like to be fooled or deceived in any way, and I just couldn't imagine that it could be that simple. And it's with that in mind, when I was 18 years old, the pastor preached and he said, "Listen, you could be a good person and upright and all of that, but if you die without Christ, you're going to the devil's hell with all the blasphemers, all the Bible rejectors, all the God haters, all the..." You say, "Well, what about Adolf Hitler?" Listen, every soul from the best to the worst has a never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity someplace. And every one of us stands in jeopardy every hour if we die outside of Christ. And this is the story as we come. Most of you are acquainted with the fact that the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. The Lord Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. At the end, he was betrayed and went to the judgment hall and ultimately to the cross. And he was crucified there, was buried, and wow, on the third day, he rose from the dead. Now, I want you to see something today especially. And that is this. All these things that happened over and over and over again, God was proving that Jesus Christ actually is who he claimed to be. The very Son of God, God manifested. Wow, this story formed. The disciples have been to the tomb and they found the stone rolled away and the tomb is empty. And they're perplexed, and the gardener, the angel says, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. And these two fellas, Cleopas and another guy, they're walking to a nearby village, Emmaus, and they're kind of saying, wow, what is this that just happened? And I want to just gather us into this. These are not bad guys, but they're lost. These are not guys who hate God and hate everything about God, but they're perplexed. You know, there are a lot of people in that condition. They realize in their heart of hearts, hey, after I pass, when I leave this life, I'm going to probably stand before God. If there's a God at all, I'm going to give account. And they kind of, the Bible says, feel after God. Kind of, how could I know him? How could I be his redeemed, his child? How could I belong to him? How could I have assurance that I don't have to fear and dread his presence? And these guys, it says, as we pick up our text in Luke 24, and behold, two of them, chapter 24, verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near with them. I think this is kind of a wonderful thing. Here's guys perplexed and wondering and confused, and they're walking together, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's kind of both very, very intriguing and also kind of funny. The first, at the funny level, man, they're asking questions, and the one who has all the answers starts walking alongside them. But it's also intriguing in this way that they didn't recognize him. There's a lot of people like that. They know about Jesus Christ. They know about the death, burial, and resurrection. They know about the events that happened historically, but they don't have it deep down inside personally. And this is their condition. Notice what it says, verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Their eyes were holden. That's the condition of a lost man. Hey, whether he knows it or not, he's spiritually blinded. He does not actually see through all the way to the truth. And while, notice what it says, verse 17, and they said unto him, he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have to one another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And I like this tongue-in-cheek, verse 19. He said unto them, what things? Now, can I just say, hear me. If there's anybody that knew exactly what had happened in the last few days, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. So often, the questions, the rhetorical questions that he asked were not because he needed an explanation. He was drawing out of them this pattern of thought. What things? They're marveling. You don't know what just happened? You don't know? I mean, they went to the tomb. Look what it says here. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and were before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, hear me for a moment. They said, didn't you hear? We thought this prophet, mighty indeed, was going to deliver Israel. Of course, they were under bondage to the Roman Empire. They're paying tribute to Caesar and all that stuff. And they were looking for a physical deliverer. And they had hoped that he would be that. It's amazing to me how many people know about the Lord Jesus Christ and they have their own image of what he is or what he was doing or why he came. But they have a wrong concept of the whole thing. And no wonder. I want to just be a little bit sympathetic to these guys. The Bible says their eyes were holden that they did not know him. Let's not be too hard on them. There's a lot of people who would be saved if someone would just give them a clear explanation. If they would just tenderly kind of, it's not a matter of me smart, you dumb. It's not me brave, you weak. It's not, oh, I'm intellectual and you're just challenged. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's everybody is in the same condition, lost, helpless, hopeless, and needing God to help us to see the truth. Notice what happens here. I like what happens. Then he said unto them, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The world's greatest Bible study. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, in person, the very manifest Word of God, sits down with these two guys and opens up, of course only the Old Testament had been written at the time, and he begins at Moses and all the prophets, and notice what it says. He expounds to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is a real line of demarcation, folks. Once you understand Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, the only Savior in the world, Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The same Lord Jesus who it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's quite a claim. I'm the only begotten Son. I am the only way to heaven. I am the only name through which you could be saved. Been a lot of religion down through the eons. But one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he proved it. He proved it. He sat down with them and showed them from the Old Testament scriptures. You see mankind falling in the garden? You see God covering the shame of their nakedness with the coats of a slain lamb? Do you see that? That was me making provision for them. Do you see in the book of John where it says, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus is going to go through and prove he's exactly who he claimed to be. He called, covered the shame of Adam with the coats. He appeared to Hagar in Genesis 16. In Genesis chapter 18, he appears to Abraham. He renames Jacob Israel. in Genesis 32. He's the lawgiver through all of Leviticus. You read Numbers and Deuteronomy, or Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and the type, all the sacrifices, all the offerings, the trespass offering, the sin offering, all the substitutionary atonement, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, all the required Old Testament sacrifices. And Jesus is sitting with these two men and going through, beginning at Moses. See this? That was me. See this? That was me. See this? That's me. The innocent dying for the guilty. Those unworthy could be forgiven. Their sins could be covered year by year. You see how the high priest offered the sacrifice? That blood sprinkled on that altar? That's me! Over and over again. What? He's showing them the mighty plan of a majestic and holy God all through that Old Testament. He appears in Judges chapter 6 to Gideon, Manoah's wife. Samson's going to be born. He's the one that says, you see the Assyrian army, 185,000 that were destroyed to protect Israel? That was me. Do you see through all the Old Testament, the captain of the Lord host in Joshua chapter 5, the angel of the Lord in Zechariah 3? That's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Folks, listen. If a person's going to be saved, foundationally, you got to see who Jesus really is. He's not just one of a bunch of good guys out there. He is the only Savior in the world. You got to see him for who he really is. Notice what it says, verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. They know. This is the Holy Spirit of God doing office work in the heart. There's something special about this guy. But their eyes were holden. And they said, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Now listen. Can you imagine the scene? They're sitting there, and he sits down, and he doesn't pray and ask God to bless it. He blesses it. Only divinity can do that. And they get to see this. Do you think they were kind of stewing? Man, there's something strange about this guy. He seems to know a lot about this stuff. Now watch. And they said one to another, did not our heart, verse 32, burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And now watch what it says. And while he opened to us the scriptures. Their eyes were holding. And the first thing, he opened the scriptures. If somebody's going to be saved, the first step is to see Jesus for who he really is. Look, you cannot be saved without seeing and knowing and understanding Jesus Christ is the very Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the only Savior. The only possibility for anybody to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it plainly declares. Now, I like what happens. They said, didn't our heart burn within us when he opened the scriptures? That's kind of the marvel of it. When someone gets saved, the Word of God is opened and they're shown, hey, God's got a plan. It's to redeem a lost mankind from the first sin in Adam in the Garden of Eden till all through history, all through God's trying to get this message through to man. You need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Your sin's going to condemn you. You're going to burn forever. You're going to be in terrible trouble. You can't die without the forgiveness of God. It gets repeated and repeated and repeated. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures? That's what happened to me. Once I saw Jesus for who he really was, that was a great, great day in my life. And then notice what it says. Verse number 33. And they rose up. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that he had been a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him meat, a broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And verse 44, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Verse 45, look, the second opening. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Hey, it's one thing to see Jesus for who he is, it's another thing to see yourself for who you are. A sinner in need of forgiveness. The object of the love of God. The very center of the plan of Almighty God. It says he opened to them the scriptures. They recognize Jesus for who he is, and then they recognize themselves. When someone really gets saved, this is always the process. He's the Savior, I'm the sinner. He's the one that can forgive sin, and I'm the one in desperate need of forgiveness. He's the one who knows the worst truth about me and loved me anyway. What a wonderful thing that I could be forgiven, though so unworthy. I love it. I love it because he opens the scriptures, he opens their eyes, and now it says he opens their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. There's a lot of people, lots of people who say, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Yes, I believe he rose again. But when they understand their lost condition, when they come to grips with, "I need that." You know, you can take a person and put them in church, but that doesn't make them a Christian. Right? You can put kittens in an oven, but that don't make them biscuits. Right? Right? I'm saying there's this, it's the same for everybody. Don't get prideful. And don't get haughty, and don't get discouraged. It's the same for all of us. Wow, I'm a rotten, no good, desperate sinner. I need the forgiveness of God, and he's willing to forgive me. How wonderful! Once you understand that, then the decision's in your lap. Then it's, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with this information? Hey, he opened their eyes. He opened the scriptures. He opens their understanding. And notice what it says. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Hey! Can you see it? This is the majestic plan of an omnipotent God. All the while, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. God loved you before you were a gleam in your grandfather's eye. God loved you and made provision for your forgiveness and salvation. God loved you and sent his son to pay for your sins. And then said, why don't you come to him in faith? You say, well, what does that actually mean? For me, I went to the pastor and I said, well, if I need to be saved and he's willing to forgive me, I'll take him for who he is if he'll take me for who I am. And I prayed and I just said, Lord, please save me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I understood Jesus was the Savior. I understood I needed to be saved. And I called on him and asked him to save me. I didn't hear sirens and bells. I didn't hear whistles. I didn't see visions. I didn't see lightning. But a load of sin was lifted off of these shoulders. And I got the forgiveness of an almighty God according to his promise in the scriptures. Repentance! Hey! I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for that and I have violated God's laws and I'm unworthy. But I'm loved. And remission of sins. What a wonderful message. Isn't it neat? We don't have to say, well, mow my lawn and give me money and go to college and then you can go to heaven. No. It's repentance and remission of sins. You repent of your sins and you trust in Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. I'm here. Look, I don't know each person, each heart, but I know the scriptures. And I've seen this happen time and time and time again. Someone is here. These guys, their heart burned within them. They knew, they were perplexed, they were questioning, they had questions. And Jesus Christ is the answer to all of those needs. The one who knows what's going on, what's happening and why it's happening and how God arranged all these circumstances. Some people have to be on their back before they'll look up. Other people think their religiosity or their morality or their intellect or their wisdom is going to somehow commend them to God. And they find out it's so shallow and empty and hollow and meaningless. And they come to the end of themselves and they say, God, if you'll show me what I need to do, I'll do it. That's what these guys did. Their eyes were opened, the scriptures were opened, and then their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It's a great day. It's a wonderful day. And I want to just challenge you this morning. If you're here and you're outside of Christ, you've never been saved, today would be the day to get that settled before it's too late. Call you upon the Lord while he's near. It's a great, great, you're in a place where the Bible's preached. You're in a place where you're surrounded by people that love you and want God's best for you. Have no ulterior motive other than wanting you to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very intimate and personal way. Would you let him do that? At the close of the service, there'll be an invitation and it'll be extended for anyone who'd like to be saved to come and sit down with someone in the scriptures and to trust in Christ, to call on the Lord and get it settled before it's too late. If you're already a Christian, to maybe come and pray for a lost loved one or friend or relative. If you're someone who's looking for, now that I am saved, what's the next step? To follow the Lord in believers' baptism and church membership. Hey, listen, we need each other And we would love to have the privilege of helping you. But I want to just challenge you. Look with me at this scripture and this verse 47, and I'm done. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name. How wonderful! It's not join a Baptist church to be saved. It's not give the pastor money. It's repentance and faith. How wonderful to preach that message. I'd like heads bowed and eyes closed today. No one looking around. Just in the quietness of this moment. They said, what's actually happening? What's the reason for all this? Why is it this way? The Bible has the answers. God has the answers. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor King, I'm like that. I need my eyes opened. I need the scriptures opened. And I need my understanding opened. And Lord, now that I know what the plan is, I want to trust in Christ. I want to get this settled. I don't want to leave without having this settled once and for all in my life. I wonder who would say, Pastor King, I'm already a Christian. I know I've trusted Christ. I've gotten that settled. And I'm wonderfully saved. And I'm grateful for it. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I know I'm a Christian and I'm mighty glad for it. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. And then who would say today, Pastor King, I'm not a bit sure that that's settled with me. I care about it, though, and I do need to get that settled before it's too late. Would you pray for me that I'd be saved before it's too late? I see one hand, two hands. Is there another? Pastor King, I need to get that settled. I know God loves me, and I need to just get saved before it's too late. Let me challenge you to do this while Christians are praying and you're there. Could you, with a sincere heart, pray a prayer like this and mean it with all your heart? Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve hell. But Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And I, best I know how, I want to call on you to forgive me, save me, take me to heaven when I die. You know my heart. I believe you're the only Savior. And I want you to be mine. Make me your child. Take me to heaven when I pass from this life. Lord, I'm calling on you today to save me. Could you pray a prayer like that between you and God and mean it with all your heart? Lord, save me. I want to get it settled. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. Could you pray a prayer like that between you and God and mean it with all your heart? You say, Pastor King, today I'm calling on the Lord Jesus to save me. I know it's true. I understand my need. And today I'm placing my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're doing that today in the quietness of this moment, would you just slip your hand up? I'm asking the Lord to save me today. One hand, two hands. Is there another? I'm asking you, Lord, save me today. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands, you know the hearts, and Lord, I wouldn't hurt them for the life of me, but Lord, this is so important. People who put it off and put it off, the devil's time is tomorrow. Would you help them be saved before it's too late? Bless our invitation time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.